have Pastor Julio Roscoe with us and his wife Ivana. Many of us are familiar with Pastor Julio. He's served this congregation many times, preaching of the word. He currently is heading up a ministry called Sentinel, and you'll be going down to Central America, is that right? In July. Okay, good. He's done ministry in Cuba and many other places. So come and give us the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. Ivana and I are so glad to be here to share God's word. And we bring greetings to all of you from our Mid-Atlantic District office. I'm part of the LONCC, which is License and Ordination Credentials Committee. So if you want to serve under the CMA and be credentials or licensed as a official worker, just see me afterwards, okay? the passage that we're going to be speaking on today, it's found in Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to go through all the verses, but we all, maybe all of us, are familiar with this parable that Jesus said. And let me begin by just asking a real quick question. Have you ever had one of those days when everybody and everything seems to be like it's or against you? You know, I'm very sure that this kind of thoughts would have been running through the mind of this man in this parable that is laying down on the side road, half naked, maybe, in a pool of his own blood, barely alive. And my question is, why did Jesus tell this story? It is an excellent storybook ending. It has an introduction, and then it has the components of the story, and then it has the conclusion. But what was really the point here? And to find that out, let me just paraphrase for you the circumstances that I believe led up to why Jesus told this story. In verses 25 through 29, Jesus is teaching. And up to this point in his public ministry, he's becoming more famous, and also he's being rebuked by the leaders, national leaders, as well as people in general. And notice that while he's teaching, suddenly an expert, we might call it an expert of the law, stood up to pop up a question, to ask a question. And you know, students, we all know that there are three types of questions that you can ask. One is to get more information about any subject and get more knowledge. Another type of question is to know if the teacher or professor knows about the subject. And the other kind of question is just to confirm what I already know. I believe that this question was the kind of question to try to get Jesus offside and then expose him as a false prophet or teacher. So he stood up and he popped the question. And the lawyer, we might say, because he was an expert of the law, wanted to know what Jesus believed he must do to inherit eternal life. The person was looking for really the standards of how to get to heaven. And so Jesus replied with a question, which is normal and very common within the Hebrew culture. He popped the question and he asked him, "What is written in the law?" he says. And then the lawyer answered by quoting this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 19. This is what we call the great commandment. Shall we all read it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. What surprises me is that Jesus told this expert of all, you know, your answer is correct. You're right. And by telling this, Jesus was not saying that to have eternal life, you will have to do good works, because we know that the Bible teaches us that the salvation, it's only obtained through grace and by faith in Jesus. But what he was saying really was to live the life, or a life of love, in other words, loving each other and loving God, is to live a life of the kingdom of God. That's part of what the kingdom of God is all about, is to live a life of quality, and I might add quantity. Quantity, because all the promises and blessings that God has in store for you and for me. Quality, because this is a qualitative life that we all are about to live. And because of this answer, then the expert of the law came up with a $10 million question. And he said, "Right, okay. Who's my neighbor then?" Who is my neighbor? I want to know now, what's your interpretation? It's not only the observation of what is written in the law, but now I want to understand. I want to get deeper. And what do you think about? So, who's my neighbor, Jesus? He said, and he really was expecting Jesus to give an answer. And Jesus gave him an answer, which I believe summarizes what I'm going to say now, the whole parable. Jesus told him that what he mean by preaching and by teaching about love, it's not only a concept to be understood cognitively, but it's a concept that needs to be understood in a very practical way. Because one thing is to know, and one thing is to feel and to sense, but another thing is to embrace and do what is written in the Word. See, all these things are connected. And we cannot miss one. If you miss just one of those key chain, I might call it, then there's something missing in our practical spiritual journey. So again, I believe that Jesus was about to teach the meaning of true love in a very practical way. And so he tells this parable that we are all familiar with. The parable begins by telling about a man. Jesus does not tell us his background. Jesus does not give us any information But we know that he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, which is about 17 miles east Jerusalem. And the road goes through rocky desert countryside. And this is a very good place for robbers to overcome defenseless travelers. And that was what happened to this man who was beaten. He was stripped of all his possession, and he was left for dead. And now, after this scenario of this man on the road, Jesus tells us about three characters that come into action. And this is what I found, what I believe, the three attitudes in the church toward loving our neighbor. Let's take a look at them. The first one is the priest. The priest, we all know, represented God to the people and vice versa. Represented people to God. He was an intercessory, a mediator, who prayed and do sacrifices for people. So this priest was on his way, and all of a sudden he sees this man on the road. Now, by becoming involved in the life of this man, the priest risked becoming unclean. So in Leviticus chapter 21, verses 1 through 3, we read that a priest must not make himself ceremonially unclean for any of his people who die, except for a close relative. In other words, there was no way for this priest to know if the man was dead, except by touching him. And he did not want to risk and losing his credentials. Some Christians, including myself, share this kind of attitude sometimes. We don't want to get involved with our neighbors because we think that if we do become involved and become too close to them, we will eventually become like them. I don't want to hang out with these guys in my neighbor because I'm special or I'm different and I don't want to get involved. I don't want to risk my reputations, my standard, the way I live, etc. But not only that, this priest also risked suffering the same fate. So he did not know if the robbers were around just waiting for the next victim and attack him. So he said, no way, Jose, I'm out of here. So the priest just kept on going. He just kept on going, and there are some of us who do not want to be involved in the lives of our neighbors because we fear being used or rejected by others. And I'm sure we all may have stories of how our own experience have been when it comes to risk your own life for the sake of Jesus. This is the first character. He saw the man. He did not want to risk, so he went around and kept on going. The second character, it's a Levite. A Levite represent the cost. Loving our neighbor is costly. A Levite was a priestly assistant. Hear what I'm going to say right now. The priest was on his way to the temple. He did not stop. He just kept on going. The Levite comes, and if he is the assistant to the priest, he was the one who prepared everything for the offerings and the sacrifices in the temple. That means that the Levite was already late, and he was in a hurry. And he did not want to stop. It was a matter of priorities. Do I stop to help this guy, or shall I keep on going? And so he made the decision, and he kept on going. Probably he was the one who sees programs more important than people. Probably he's the one who didn't want to share time with people because he says, I have more important things to do than helping and than doing this. So I just need to keep on going. So the Levite just kept on going, and let's stretch our minds a little bit more here. Maybe the Levite had no time to step and help because he said, I'm late. My boss is right ahead of me. And if I get late, I might be fired. So he just kept going and he didn't want to pay the cost. Sometimes we are the same. Sometimes we don't want to share whatever we have with our neighbors because we don't want to pay the cost of losing our jobs or losing whatever we may lose in doing so. And we forget that we serve an awesome God. Let's keep moving. The priest represent the guy who didn't want to risk, but the Levite represent the guy who didn't want to pay the cost. But now we have somebody else in the picture, and that's the Samaritan. The Samaritan came into place, and loving your neighbor is worth it. It is worth it. It's something that will satisfy our souls and our minds. Of all of the characters involved, this one should have been the least likely to help. And why? Because we know that Jewish and Samaritans did not like each other. They hated each other. In fact, Jewish rebuked the Samaritans because they said, you are not 100% Jewish. You have half of your blood. It's Gentiles, because you were the one who stood up in the north and mingled with Gentiles, and you are the product of that mingling with Jewish and Gentiles. So we don't like you. Not only that, you guys changed the worship system, and we have our own way of worshiping. Remember the conversation Jesus had with the Samaritan, the woman at the well? And he said, we know whom we worship, he said. God is looking for worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. So there was this argument between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Why? Because Samaritans and Jewish were not friends. Not only that, also this despised individual who was the least likely to help was the one who loved his neighbor. The NIV used this term, pity. Other versions use the term compassion. And this is what we find in this story, that this Samaritan really stopped. And he risked, and he paid the cost. Now, I'm wondering how he did it. And so I just kept on going and observing the passage. And the first thing that he did in a very practical way was he saw the knee right there in front of him. Verse 33. And the Bible says that when he saw the need, he was moved to compassion, to pity. He felt. He saw, and then he felt it, and he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. Totally, he met that need. In other words, he spent of his possession, his time, and forget about the possessions and times. How about the embracement of that person who needed to be helped on the road? I think that's the great message that we have here on this parable. And so he was moved to compassion and understanding about the needs. And we sincerely need to become involved in the lives of others. And in doing that, we need to do it through God's eyes. We need to see the way God sees people. We need to ask God to continue to help us so that we might be a conduit of blessings to others. I call you to bless you so that you in turn will bless others. And I think this is the case here. To the degree we are able to meet the needs of others, we need to help our neighbors, brothers and sisters. Not necessarily giving of our possessions, like I said before, but giving of our time, our lives, and everything. Loving them sincerely with all of our heart. Not giving out of obligation, but concern for the individual who's in great need. We have great needs around us. You know, God works within the boundaries of our abilities and beyond the boundaries of our inability. As we open our lives to Him, He will use us as we go in a very open angle to receive and to be conduits of blessings to others. So in this arise and build, and this new beginning, my challenge to you is, let's be the neighbor to those who are in need around us. Remember how the parable began? Began by this expert of the law asking questions to understand what Jesus wanted to say or to understand what Jesus meant. Well, how it ended, it's really interesting. It ends by saying, who is the neighbor? And the lawyer, the expert of the law, answered, the one who was moved, the one who had compassion. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. What a great lesson. What a great challenge. What a great principle we have in front of us, brothers and sisters. Because this story happened, and Jesus told this story 2,000 years ago. How will that translate into our own practical way of living? How is your spiritual journey right now? Where are you at this point? There are a lot of needs around us. We don't believe this, but in the United States, I was reading the statistics. Davis University in California did a research on poverty in the United States, and they found out that there is approximately 12% of poverty in the United States, which translated into numbers, it's about 40 million people who live in poverty, not under, but in poverty. And this is just one way of seeing it. But what about broken relationships? What about families becoming apart? What about financial crash? What about children against fathers and parents and parents against children? What about drugs and alcohol and domestic violence? We live in a messy society, which is in great need. And let me just get deeper on this. That man who was laying down on the road might represent a bunch of people in this country that are in great need. People with whom we interact on a daily basis, and we see them at work, and we see them at school, and we see them in our neighbors. Will you step up and say, I want to be your neighbor? Because that's the lesson of the parable. Who's the neighbor? You. Me. We are the neighbor of the one who is laying down on the road. How are we going to do it? Let me give you some hints here, and I'll close with this. We need to move from fear to faith. We need to believe that we have a belief in a God that is almighty and all-powerful, and that He will meet all the needs. Not us, it's He who's going to do it. We need to believe that He has promised us that He was going to be with us all days of our lives, and that we will go and help people, not in our own name, not in our own authority and power, but all authority and power has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, you go. That authority, that power, ladies and gentlemen, was translated into the church, us, you and I, so that we will go in faith as opposed to fear. Let me give you another hint. How about safety? Move from safety to sacrifice. One of the characteristics of a servant is sacrifice. A servant will do anything that it will take to please his Lord. And sometimes we need to sacrifice a little bit of who am I? A little bit of what I have. A little bit of whatever God is asking you to sacrifice. Maybe your time. Maybe the money, extra money that you have to bless somebody. Maybe. I don't know. The Holy Spirit will let me know, will let you know what you need to sacrifice, what you need to bring on the altar and burn it. Let me give you another hint. What about complacency? Do you know that the church in the United States is decreasing so rapidly that by the next 5 or 10 years, many churches will be closed. In 1 year, 3,000 church, in 1 month, 3,000 church will close. And why? One of the things that has been consistent when we study these churches is that we are so complacent that we have no compassion for people whatsoever. Somewhere, somehow, loving God and loving people got lost in our spiritual journey. And we need to retake that. We need to go back and say, Lord, help me. Help me. I need to be moved again to compassion. I need to continue to get deeper in my relationship with you in a vertical way and get deeper and getting to know you better each day. But also that love needs to be translated horizontally because it's not either or, it's both and. We need to love God like crazy and love people like crazy, whomever and whatever those people are. Brown, white, yellow, black, it doesn't matter. We are called to love everyone. And we are called to have compassion on anybody, anyone, everybody, everyone. Let me give you another one. What about isolation? We get so isolated sometimes that we even draw an imaginary circle. Have you heard about that term, proximity? This is my circle. The standard for you to get close to me is about 2 feet. Don't get closer. Please. So we isolated ourselves and we lack involvement. If I heard Pastor Juan correctly, he was saying there are still some slots ready for you to get involved. Yeah. We need to do it. We need to get involved. There were 16 people who came forward and say, yes, arise and build. Let's take a look at the future. We have a greater future. Still need 5, 6 more. Don't isolate yourself. Get involved. Get involved. And then there's another right here. Don't be lazy. Work. And I'm not saying let's help God here. God doesn't need our help. But what I'm saying here is be obedient. God calls us to be obedient. The most hated word in the Bible is the word obey. And God called us to obey. So don't just be sitting down there and just doing nothing. My challenge to you is this morning, and I believe it's coming from the Lord, move to become a leader, servant, and multiplier. You need to multiply yourself. How many people have you talked lately about Jesus Christ? How many people have you impacted in their lives in the last 2 weeks or maybe the last month or two or so? How many people? Become a leader. Take that step of faith and believe that God is calling you to do mighty things for Him. And that's it. Brothers and sisters, what's your response today? You have in front of you right now a great challenge. to do likewise. Go and do likewise. Close your eyes, and as you meditate on all that we just shared, answer. Answer to Him. Answer to the Holy Spirit. Maybe, if you are here for the first time and don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe the challenge for you is to receive Christ in your heart today. And that's very simple. Jesus said that you are a sinner. And Jesus said that you cannot save yourself. That we are separated from God. There's nothing we can do to obtain salvation. That He came and died for you and for me on the cross. And that if you believe in Him, the Bible says, and confess that to Him, you will be saved. There's nothing else you can do but to believe in Him. And He will give you eternal life. He did it with me, and He did it with a lot of people here that are sitting down right now. But maybe you have not done that. So the challenge for you is to receive Christ as your personal Savior. And nobody's going to see you but God and me. If you are there, you don't know where are you. Are you going to spend eternity? This is the right time for you to raise your hand and say, I want to receive eternal life in Jesus Christ. Is there anybody this morning that wants to receive Jesus? Is there anyone? I want to pray for you, and we will explain to you what this Christian walk, Christian journey means. Is there anybody who may want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior? Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. For the rest of the congregation, I don't know what your decision today, but whatever your decision today, I want to pray for you before we leave. Raise your hand. Maybe God spoke to you through His Word and challenged you to go beyond and to do whatever it takes to continue to serve Him in this church, in this city, in this location. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. I want to join you. Praise the Lord. We have somebody here. We have another young person here. Is there anybody else who said, I want to do likewise? Love God and love my neighbor like crazy. Is there anybody else? Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody? Thank you. Amen. Father, we love You. Yes, we do. And we worship You by virtue of who You are. God Almighty, Creator of all things, You are the only one worthy to be worshipped. And Father, as we bow ourselves before You in our hearts and in our minds, we acknowledge Your holiness. And we ask once again, forgiveness of whatever sin that we may have committed. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that Your blood will continue to cleanse us. Father, we also pray that we will continue to grow in our relationship with You and in our involvement with those who are in need right now. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for these two people who raised their hands and saying, I'm going to arise and I will continue to build. And I will do it, whatever it takes. Father, we pray for them and pray that you will empower them with the Holy Spirit and that you will use them in a mighty way. Father, we pray that thy kingdom come and that thy will be done. In Jesus' almighty name, we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Thank you.